is that, as most of you would be aware, is that Pastor Rick and Jenny have been location pastors here for 8 years, are moving on to become senior pastors of Vines in Taree. So today's a day of great celebration, but also a day of sadness for us. I've been part of the team for 13 years, and so it's my great pleasure and honour to be able to share the word of God. I thought I'd give Pastor Rick the morning off, so he didn't have to preach on his last Sunday with us. Let's put our hands together for the worship team this morning. Thanks so much. Is the last 13 years, they've been a thrill. They've been a ride. At times a bumpy ride, but more often than not, just a time of just great friendship and where you've captured the vision of our senior pastors, and that's what we're called to do as well. And as I preach the word this morning, it's a word about transition, but it's also a word about vision and moving forward. And every time of seasons of transition, it's not the end of something, it's always the beginning of something new. It's a whole different perspective. And as I share today, I want to honour Pastor Rick and Jenny. I want to honour all the kids that sow their life into the house of God and have done since they were born. And so I pray that as I share these words, that you hear the word that Jesus has for you, not just necessarily the 1,000 words that have come out of my mouth this morning. I know this about vision, is that there was a statement that says that eyes that look are common, but eyes that see are rare. Is that there's a great difference just between looking and also seeing. Is vision is the ability to see what other people don't see. And so this morning, I'm going to throw on the screen here just a short statement, and I want you to get involved today. I'm going to ask you to do something, is that when this statement, well, the statement's up now, I want you to count the number of letters F in this passage. This sentence here, just start counting. What's F look like? 1, 2, 3, mate. 3. Let's pull it down. No. How many people like me saw 3? 3 Fs. Who saw 4? Who saw 5? Oh, smart Alex. Did anyone actually see 6? A few of them. Yeah, no. If you didn't see it before, just go 3, all right? All right. So everyone who's saying, I only saw 3, you're like, you're lying to me. There can't be any more than 3. It's like, let's throw it back on the screens. Have a look one more time. Let's count them off. 1, 2, 3. Some are like, oh. Is it? Let's pull it down. Who can still see 3? It's like, yeah, okay. Like, I thought I was intelligent as well. Can only see 3. How many more saw 6 this time? Yeah. A few more of us. Let's, for all the ones that are only still seeing 3, I'm going to throw it back up there one more time. I'll give you a clue. If you just look at the word of, all right? You've missed the... Oh! There's 6. Keep going. All right. I'm just going to sit down for a little while till you all get it. 1, 2, 3. All right, come pull it down. You can see 7. Oh, my gosh. How many else saw 7? You're just geniuses. You see out of the box. So eyes that look are common. Eyes that actually see are rare. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says this. While we do not look at the things which are seen, that are the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. An incredible passage here that's talking about actually what we see and what we don't see. And Paul, the writer here, is saying is that the seen things have an expiry date attached to them. Everything seen has an expiry date. Maybe you're like me a number of weeks ago, where I got up early one morning, sleep still in my eye, went to the fridge, pulled out the bottle of milk there, the carton of milk, took the lid off that and started to drink it, like not knowing that it had an expiry date that had finished just a couple of days earlier. And there's nothing like that thing just floating down the back of your throat like that, these little lumps of milk. And it's that seeing things have an expiry date, but so often in our lives, that's all we tend to see, just the things in front of us, the seen things. But here Paul is actually saying, would we look beyond the seen and into an eternal realm, the unseen things, because so much of our eyesight is caught up in the now, and the now can trap us. But there's something looking into the dimension of the spiritual realm, the unseen, the eternal realm. Because this is what I've noticed about the kingdom of God, is the kingdom of God for all of us starts in the invisible realm and over time becomes visible to us. And there's a growing visibility of the kingdom, the dimension of who God is. The word of God also says is that we do walk not by our sight, but we walk by faith. Is that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And so when we are actually walking in faith, we're walking from an invisible realm into something that comes visible over time. That's what faith is. It's a hope and it's expectation for a future good, for what you and I are hoping for will actually come to a place of realization. Is that everything in the kingdom of God begins with a seed and it ends in a harvest. Comes from an invisible place into a place of abundance and also a place of plenty. This morning I pray that you and I would just not see with a natural eye, but would see with a spiritual eye all that God has for us. And so today I want to look at just one passage of scripture out of Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to read a number of verses here this morning. And so we're going to start from verse 1. It says this: in the year that King Uzziah died, is that there now is coming a time of transition in the land of Judah. Is that the king, King Uzziah, has been on the throne for 52 years over Judah, and now he has breathed his last breath. And any time where there's a time of transition, there can also be times of uncertainty. There can also at times be times of chaos in that. And so Isaiah now finds himself in this place. The whole land finds a place of this place of uncertainty, a place of transition. Is that this king had been a great king. He had been a godly king. The nation had prospered under his rulership and under his reign, and now he has breathed his last. And so in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. That there is nothing better than seeing God. In every situation of great joy and every season of tears and of weeping, is that we would find God in every season of life, in our very best of days and our most challenging of days. And here Isaiah is a young man. The nation is in a place of uncertainty, but as he looks up, he sees the whole host of heaven. He says, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the whole house was filled with smoke. This morning I want to talk about three ways that Isaiah looks out of this passage of scripture. And the first time in a season of transition, he looks up. He looks up and he sees the absolute fullness, splendor of God. Right. Is it here in a time of uncertainty, as he lifts his eyes, he sees the Lord sitting on a throne. He sees the presence of God filling the whole temple. He sees angelic beings around about. He sees the worship the angels have for him. This morning, would you look up and see the absolute splendor and majesty of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, of the Trinity, of the Godhead. Because so often we can continue just to look down, but no, when you and I look up and see the fullness of God, everything can change in a moment. And so he gets a picture of God, and God sitting on a throne. We have just celebrated Easter, and I am so glad this morning is that Jesus could get down from his throne in heaven, clothe himself in humanity, walk amongst us, die a cruel, cruel death so that you and I could come into a place of relationship and salvation and grace and forgiveness. I am so glad for that. I'm also so glad for the resurrection, that right now he is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I on a day-to-day basis. And Isaiah sees God sitting on a throne. What a picture. Is that the throne of Judah was empty, but the throne of God is always occupied. Is that Uzziah has breathed his last, But our God is always alive. It doesn't matter the seasons you and I go through, and there may be things that we actually lose in life, but God still is the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He sits on a throne. He sits on a throne of glory to which we come and we actually worship Him. He sits on a throne of government, which you and I are subject to. And He also sits on a throne of grace that we are enabled to come with boldness into. And this morning, would you come boldly into the throne room of God? Because it's that place you get fire, we find our grace, we also obtain mercy in there. As the God sits on a throne, then He goes on, He sees the fullness of God, He sees the train of His robe just filling the temple. This morning, would you allow the presence of God to fill your temple today? Would you allow the fullness of who He is to fill your life in times of uncertainty, in times of transition? Would you continue to look up and see the bigness of God, but allow Him to become so personal to each and every one of us and to fill our lives afresh? His mercies are new every morning. Is that God has a fresh supply for each and every one of us. Like in the Old Testament, when the Israelites went out to gather the manna, there was always a fresh supply. There was always, and the responsibility of you and I, humanity, His sons and daughters, is to pursue God daily. I know there was one day where they had to get 2 days' supplies of that, but they couldn't keep it for the next day. Only for that 1 2-day span. Is that there was this continuous fresh pursuit of the things of God. This morning, would you have a continuous fresh pursuit for the things of God? And as he looked up, he saw the fullness of who God is. Is that right through the Word of God? Is that God inspires us and challenges us not to look down, but to look up. Continually have our eyes looking up upon Him. The first passage of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 26 says this, "Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens." Yeah. Now, that's good advice for someone this morning. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? Who brings out the starry host one by one, calls forth each of them by name because of His great power and mighty strength? Not one of them is missing. His God is mindful. If He is mindful of the stars, He is mindful of you and I this morning. Would you lift up your eyes and see the fullness of God? Psalm 121 verses 1 and 2 says, "I lift up my eyes to the mountains, for where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord." Well, we may have a natural wisdom. We may have a company of wisdom around about us, but there's nothing better than going directly to God. Because that's where our help comes from. John 4, verse 35, "Do not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes." Come on, church, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Is it so often we can just look at the seen things, the temporary things, because, no, lift up and look further. Look into an eternal realm today, because God has so, so much more for us. This morning, would you always look up and see the bigness of God? I'm sure as Isaiah has seen this vision, this picture of heavenly beings, sees a picture of God sitting on the throne, sees a picture of the robe just filling the temple there. Isaiah's thinking, I am number one. I'm God's favorite right now. He's just showed me all of this. I'm His most beloved. But then we go to the next verse out of here. That wasn't Isaiah's response at all after seeing the fullness of God. He says in verse 5, "So I said to myself, woe is me, for I am undone." As you and I would think, we're the hot shots of this. As God's revealed His fullness to us, but Isaiah is now saying, after I have seen the fullness and the majesty of God, I'm now looking at my own life and I am completely undone. Woe is me. The second direction where Isaiah looks, he looks inward. And I found this after you and I see the splendor and the magnificence of God. It's a great thing to look inside of us to see not only what God has done in our lives, but also where God is taking us. It's the role of the Holy Spirit for us. His first role is to convict the world of their sin. For those and for us who were once without God, is the Holy Spirit comes and convicts us of sin that we'd come into relationship with Jesus Christ. But now, as sons and daughters of God, is that we no longer are convicted of our sin because Jesus has paid the price and the penalty for that, is that the Holy Spirit now convicts us of righteousness. And that's so powerful for us, because it's not condemnation anymore, because that is dead to us. But now he's convicting us on a righteous standard. So Isaiah is now looking. He sees the fullness of heaven, now analyzes his own life, and he sees a gap. He sees a gap between his present reality and what the fullness of God looks like. And this morning, if you and I would take an honest assessment of our lives, is that yes, we are declared holy, and yes, we are declared righteous, and yes, we are without stain today, that we've been forgiven, that the Holy Spirit continues to work, that we'd be in this place of growing closer in relationship with God. And so Isaiah now sees a gap. This morning, would you allow the Holy Spirit and yourself to work on the gap? Would you be disciplined enough to take a stock of your life, an audit of your life, identify those areas that just need the touch of heaven on it, those areas where you need to come back to the cross, that you and I could come into the fullness of the relationship that God desires to have with us? And this morning, I'm not saying to condemn any one of us, but I am saying it today, would you allow the Holy Spirit to do his work inside of us to bring us into that place of righteousness with God? And Isaiah starts to look within and he sees the gap. He says, God, woe is me. I am actually undone. And it goes on, it says, because I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. A picture of what Jesus Christ did for each and for every one of us. We live in a world that is now known as a selfie generation. Is that there are more pictures that people take of themselves today than at any other time in history. Is that we are the selfie generation. One thing I've noticed about selfies is we never put out the worst shot of us, ourselves. We always put out the best. Is that we would take photo after photo after photo just to get that magic shot. You know that shot where just the light's shining so wonderfully on that side of our face and it's amplifying these incredible features of us. And if it's not doing that, we'd apply a filter to it. And if that filter doesn't work, we'd put another filter on it, another filter. And if that's not working, we'd put little love hearts and arrows on our eyes or something. I don't know what we do. But we're a selfie generation. But very rarely do we have this ability to look internally inside of us and not just see the areas that we need to work on. And we may see them, but to the world around about us, we never ever want to reveal any of those things. The Apostle Paul, he takes a spiritual selfie thousands of years ago. In Romans chapter 7, he says this. Let me just preempt this verse by saying this, is that writers would say that Paul is putting pen to paper 25 years after he has first been encountered, he encountered Christ. So 25 years later, he's putting pen to paper, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writing these words. Maybe it rings a bell to you and I. Message version says this from verse 14, Romans 7. I can anticipate the response that is coming. I know that all God's commands are spiritual, but I'm not. Isn't this also your experience? Yes, I'm full of myself. After all, I've spent a long time in sin's prison. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another. Is Paul speaking to anyone else this morning apart from me? He's like, doing things I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's commands are necessary. But I need something more. For I know the law, but still can't keep it. And if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I really don't do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. Anyone else? This is like, he's sort of taking a selfie of my life right there. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me, and it gets the better of me every time. Is that That's an honest assessment of a life. And Paul would declare that he is holy and he is righteous and he has been in chains for Christ. Yet there is this wrestle inside of him. He takes a spiritual selfie as he looks inside of his life and says, hey, God, would you come, Holy Spirit, and work on this gap inside of my life? Isaiah is doing the same thing. As he experiences a gap, woe is me. I am completely undone by the majesty of God. And God comes and brings him to a place of relationship, place of forgiveness. This morning, that's an opportunity for each and every one of us to step into that. And so Isaiah, in this place of transition, he looks up, sees the glory, the magnificence of God. He looks within himself and says, God, I need you to do a good work and a big work inside of me. And then this verse continues on. Verse 8 says this, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And he said, go tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. And then I said, Lord, how long? And God answered, until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant. The third direction where Isaiah looks in this time of transition, he looks out. Yeah. And I think from what I know of Pastor Rick and Jenny over the past 13 years, and even before that, having known them, is that if Rick has encouraged us to continue to look up and see the bigness of God, is that there is a faith around these guys that enlarges all of our worlds. It has enlarged my world because there's a faith around about you that keeps stretching and keeps busting out. And then there's an internal, would you just keep looking inside of yourself that you'd become a better person? You would grow closer in your walk and your intimacy with Jesus Christ. And then finally, as these guys have taught us all, just to keep looking out for each other. Yeah. Look out for the ones around about you. If I could just focus on Jen for a moment in that, is that she has eyes for the one. Yeah. And so many of you, so many of us have been the recipients of her eyes that have seen us in times of trial, times of conflict in our heart, and have stopped and engaged. And not just engaged, but she's prayed. At the end of the service, I saw her praying for a lady. I was like, oh my gosh, that's what she, there she goes again. Thank God. Thank God is that they have eyes to look beyond themselves and to look out. You and I, would we see the glory of God? Would we look inside and say, God, I need a change? Or we look at others around about us because we are carriers of redemption. We are carriers of his love and his grace. We are carriers of his healing power. Is that what God has done inside of each and every one of us? We can't hold in. We've got to release it to the world around about us, a world that is hurting, a world that is broken. Would you and I actually have eyes for the one? And what I love about this passage, we can just put it back up there, is that Isaiah has experienced the fullness of God. He experienced an internal cleansing of his life, a transformation internally. But up to this point in time, he hasn't heard the voice of God. He's experienced the majesty of heaven. He's experienced a cleansing of his life. But the thing he really needs to hear as well is also the voice of God. And I pray today that you'd be attentive always to hear the voice of God for your life. Is it your pastors, they have heard the voice of God. And at times we may not understand the voice of God. As I look back on their journey, like who would go to Roma to pastor a church? Jen did. Yeah. Rick went reluctant, kicking and screaming. Then the pastor on the Gold Coast, Abundant Life, Dream Center. Now, go into business. And to come to work, City Point. For the last 13 years to sell your life into someone else's vision. It's not always the easiest thing to do, but you guys have done it with excellence. I want to thank you for that. So Isaiah hears the voice of God. And for this season, Rick and Jenny, they've heard the voice of God. It's not even a question. I didn't say to him, are you sure this is right? Are you sure? No. When you know that you know, and when you know you can hear the voice of God, there's no questions asked after that. And so here Isaiah is in this place of who God's saying to him, well, who can I send? But who can I send? Yeah. I think God still asks the same question today.
Yeah, great. That's excellent.
But who will go for me?
Yeah, great.
Who can I send? Without hesitation, yeah. Isaiah says, send me.
Yeah.
Rick and Jen, without hesitation.
Yeah.
Well, send me. Who goes to Taree?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Right.
Jen again.
It's all Jen's fault, isn't it? Hey? It works out pretty well when you listen to Jen.
I know.
Yeah, I found that with my wife too. Who will go? Send me. What I love about Isaiah is that God hasn't even told him where he's sending him. For me personally, I'm like, God, just tell me what I've got to do, and then I'll make up my mind as to whether I'm going to choose to do that or not. Like, I want God to put out all the options for me, and then I can make a decision, a wise decision, what's the next step for me going to be. Like, you know, going to Vanuatu. He's going to Vanuatu now. Like, he's going. Like, see you later. Like, that was like perfect timing right there. Go on, go. Don't come back. Oh, he's gone out the doors. Right. That's the first person that's ever listened to me. Do you want to go with him? Yeah, stay. Okay, yeah, great. Good decision. But Isaiah doesn't even know where he's going. He just simply says, hey, God, if you want to send me somewhere, I'm going. I don't need to know the end destination. I don't need to know anything about that. And as I was driving up this morning, this statement just got into my spirit. If I could remember it, it'd be outstanding. Made such an impact. No. It was something like this. That if you and I aren't willing to go anywhere, then maybe God won't send you and I anywhere.
Yeah, wow.
If you and I aren't willing to go anywhere, then maybe God's not willing to send us anywhere with that. And this morning, that's why I stand in a place of honor for you guys, to hear the voice of God and to say, hey, God, we're going. It's not even like, how long? How long are we going for? Except it's the next part of Isaiah. He said, okay, God, I'll go, but how long do you want me to go for? I want a timeline.
Yeah,
I want a time. How long am I supposed to do this? And then what's the next look like? Like, I'm going to go if it looks good, if the opportunity's good, if the timing's good for me for the next season of my life. But Isaiah doesn't even ask the question of how long, and God answers him like this. Well, you're going to go until everyone's been defeated. There's not an end date on it. There's not an expiry date on the call of God in our lives this morning. And he just simply says, I'm going to go. I'm just going to go. I don't give a shot for God. This week, could you just make your life available? And not just available, would you make it agreeable to the plan of God?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I found we can make our lives available to God. God, I'm all yours, I'm on yours. Well, I'm not agreeable to that yet. Right? No, we have to be available and agreeable.
Wow, great.
And that will propel us forward. That gives us some momentum into the future. And so this morning, would you look up? Would you look up and see the glory, the magnificence of God? Would you look within and say, hey, God, we got some work to do. I need your help. Would you look out? Because one thing I've learned from these guys have caused me to look out. The impact they have on lives around about them. Luke 15, I won't go there into all these passages, but Jesus starts telling stories. Starts with a really big number of 100. Would the shepherd not leave the 99 and go after the one? Brings it down to the one. That one's so important. That one's so valuable. Goes to a lady with 10 coins and she loses some coins, would she not just search so diligently for those lost coins? Then it brings it down to two sons, and the son says, Father, I want my inheritance, I want to go. Comes back, and the father puts the very best of robes, throws a great party. Jesus starts with a number of 100, but he brings it down to one, because this morning everyone matters. Everyone matters. The kingdom of God is not just all about the big numbers.
Yeah.
No, lead the 99, go after the one.
Yeah, great.
The lady, she would lose some coins, but there's great value in anything that's lost, especially humanity. Would she not search so diligently for the one? That son decides to just go missing for a period of time. Would you not just welcome that son back when they make a decision? So Rick and Jen, thank you. Thank you for inspiring us to look up. Look in. also look out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Jesus, you know each and every one of our stories, but you also know our future. And Father, and in this place and in this moment right now, I thank you, the sons and daughters that have experienced your fullness today, that we'd look up and we'd just give thanks for all that you've done inside of our lives. We'd see a change, that we were once condemned, but now we have life and life abundant. We thank you for that. We thank you for ones that have reached out to us and have impacted our lives. We give you thanks for that. But this morning, I just want to ask you that maybe you're here for the first time, or maybe you've known Jesus for a long time, but there's a gap in your life. There's a gap between your present reality and your relationship with God. And this morning, I know one decision can change all of that, can change your eternity. Just one decision, to believe on Jesus Christ, to believe that he came and he died for you. And not just that he died, but he rose again in victory and triumph, defeated sin and death, so you and I to stand in a place of wholeness with God. Right now, I'd love to give you the opportunity to come to a place of salvation with Jesus Christ. Maybe for the first time, or maybe you're just saying, hey, Mike, would you please pray for me? I just need Jesus today. As I look internally in my life, I see a gap, and I need that gap to change. I need the gap to close. I need to come into a greater relationship with you. And this morning, I'd love to pray with you. If you're like that, you're saying, hey, Mike, please pray for me. I just need Jesus today. I need more of Jesus. I want to give you in my full life today. I don't want to hold anything back. If you're like that today, you know who I'm praying for. I'd love you to slip up your hand. It'd be my great honor. Thank you so much, ma'am. I appreciate that this morning. Is there any others this morning? Just say with a... Yep, please pray for me. Thank you so much, ma'am. I appreciate that hand as well. Look, one last time today. Not my words today, it's just what the Holy Spirit's doing inside of your life. And for those ones today that have made that decision, everything changes. Look, one last time, is anyone else? Heavenly Father, I thank you today. Oh, thank you so much, ma'am. I appreciate that. Sorry for that. Heavenly Father, for these ones this morning that have lifted their hands, but more than lifted their hands, they have made a decision to follow you today, Father. I thank you. I thank you for the fullness of heaven that is now theirs, that they are born again by the Spirit of God, that they are called the daughters of heaven, of relationship. There is no separation today. That the fullness of God is now the fullness for their lives. There is no condemnation, there is no shame, that they can walk whole and free from this moment forward, Father. And Father, I declare over their lives that they are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Father, I'd follow you wholly and with every part of their lives, for all their lives. Father, we give you thanks that you would enable us and you would strengthen these ones this morning in and through the mighty name of Jesus. We all said, amen. Let's put our hands together for those ones this morning. Congratulations, man. Congratulations. Congratulations. I am so happy for you.